in chapter 9, which is the concluding chapter. It's not really the concluding chapter. It is the second to the last, but the last chapter is extremely, extremely short. Now, just to remember where we are, what had happened was that, of course, Haman had made his plan. It was known to Mordechai, who told Esther, who told the king, and it was written down. And then Haman comes with a desire to kill the Jews, and he builds his gallows, prepares everything. Mordechai is to be honored because of what he had done, and that's the downfall, the beginning of the downfall of Haman. The letters which had been written and sent out to destroy the Jews were, I'm going to say at this moment, superseded, but I will take that back later, even though you can't take back letters once they've been written out in the name of the king, that the second letters are coming out and the Jews fight. And then the last sentence, I just have to say this because it just hit me today while I was driving up the block, sentence number 17 of chapter 8, the last sentence, which we had done last week, we call Medina Medina, in every province, we call Irva Ir, every city, the place where the king's rule and his statements would come, there was joy and happiness, Mishkav Yom Tov, party, Yom Tov, Ravim Me'ameha Oras Misyahadim. And many of the peoples of the lands were Misyahadim, Mordechai Alehem. For the fear of the Jews, the fear of the Jews had fallen upon them. What does this word mean, Misyahadim?
Converting.
So, converting. And here it says, profess themselves as Jews. And in other words, it was going good for the Jews. That's time to be Jewish. And the word just Misyahadim, it hit me when I was driving up the block. And that is, did you see there's a festival up the block? The Greek festival over there. There are large tents over there. The parking lot is full, and people are coming over all the time. And I think to myself, are there really that many Greeks here in the city? But it's like, and how, what is the word for Hellenizing? It's the word that was used at another holiday following, later than the time period of the holiday of Purim. People who wanted to become Greeks were misyavnim. Now the shoresh, the root of the word is yavan, which is Greece, and the root of this word is Yehuda. So misyahadim is becoming Jews, and mis Yavnim is becoming
Greek.
The Hellenists were the ones who wanted to become Greek. So it just hit me coming up the block at this time. The food was good. I'm sure the food is wonderful. The entertainment is great. And everybody wants to. Okay. Now, so what happens here, chapter number 9, and in the 12th month, Chodesh Adar, the month of Adar, Bishloshasar Yom Bo, on the 13th, Asher Higiyat Bar Melchizedek Asol Lehayasos, when the rule of the king, the word of the king, came to be done by Yom on that very same day, Asher Sibru HaYudim Lishlot Bohem, on the day that the enemies of the Jews were, it says here, expected to prevail upon them, the Napoku, it was turned upside down. Asher Yishutu Ayudim, Haim of the Sonehem. That is, the ones who wanted to destroy the Jews, the exact opposite happened. The Jews prevailed over their adversaries. And the Malbim asked the question, what's this word Hema mean? Hema is them. Hema b'sonehem, of course, you know, can say it means the Jews took over their enemies, but why do you have to add the word? It could have just said, Asher Yishutu HaYehudim, that the Jews were in power, b'sonehem, over their enemies. Okay, we'll have to see. So what happens? The Jews gather together in their cities, in all of the provinces of King Ahasuerus, to send their hand against those who wanted to do evil. The no one stood opposite them, because their fear was fallen upon all of the nations, and all of the officers of the kingdom. Now, hopefully we'll have some different translations over here.
The nobles.
The hapachos.
The satraps.
Okay, so just you should know that this one has the satraps and the governors.
It has governors of the land, nobles, and satraps.
Oh, you got three?
The rulers, the provinces, and the satraps, and deputies.
Okay, we got all of these different people here. And Osem Lacha Shalom Melech. And the Oselam Lacha.
Yes. Yeah,
so Nasim is Hayudim, they're raising up the Jews, Kinafafah Mordechai Lehem, because the fear of Mordechai has fallen upon them. So we have these all these different people over here, these different types of officers. Kigadol Mordechai Beis HaMelech, because Mordechai is great in the house of the king, V'shamo Oleh B'chol HaMedinos, and his what?
Fame.
Okay. Goes out in all the provinces. Kiyarish Mordechai Oleh B'gadol, because Mordechai is
greater and greater.
Greater and greater. Now just for a second, some Purim Torah. You know what Purim Torah is? Purim Torah is things that are not supposed to be taken that seriously, but on Purim, the time when there's levity there. So, what the word Shamo is, the root, of course, is
Shamen,
which is
here.
Not Shamo with the race, but Shamo to hear. So they would ask, what business was Mordechai in?
The hearing aid business.
The old timers used to say the herring business. Okay, but the hearing aid is also a good one for now. Okay, Vayaku Haidim Holoi Vehem, and the Jews smote all of their enemies, Makas Cheret Vehereg Vaabdom. Pretty much wiped them out. Vayaku Besonehem Kirtanam, and they did with their enemies as they wished. Uva Shushan Havira, and in Shushan the capital, or Guhayadim Va'abed, the Jews killed Hamesh Meotish, 500 people. The ace, and also, Pashon Delsway Savanu Sasway Sparasway Sadai with their dose of his Pramasway Sari Savasari Devasway Sasas, the 10 sons of Haman. And when we read the Megillah, we read them all in one breath to show that they were hung at all at one time.
Do we know anything about these people other than the fact that they're sons of Haman?
Okay, so let me read to you what Rashi says over here, which is fascinating. In other words, great question, right? What do we know of them? So this is what Rashi says. Ra'isi b'Seder Olam, I saw in the book called Seder Olam, which is like a history book. Remember, Rashi lived in the 11th century, the end of the 11th century, and he says, I saw in this Seder Olam, which has a history, Eilu Asara Shekosu Sitna Yehudim Birushalayim. These are the 10 who wrote the negative rules or information or castigation of the Jews of Yehudin Yerushalayim, as it says in the book of Ezra. So this is, of course, a commercial for the upcoming class. That is, we're going to be doing Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, without getting into it now, because of many, many reasons, but historically, the time period of Esther and the time period of the book of Ezra and Nehemiah is around the same period, right? It's between the first and the second temple. What is happening at the end of the time period of the Gullus, of the exile of the Jews in Babylonia? They are going back to the land of Israel, and they are resettling it there. And in the story, the book of Ezra says when they start going there, there is a sitna, a letter of hate, that is written, sent back from Israel back to I don't know where the leadership, the rulership is, whether it is in the time of Ahasuerus or Koresh or something like that. And I don't know the order of who comes and who is Cyrus and who is Artaxerxes. And I don't know any of that now. I don't know whether we'll know it later or not. But these are the names of the kings at that time. And they write a letter saying the Jews are preparing to rebel against you. Because, and this is what Rashi says, in other words, Rashi is saying what he believes the chronology that takes place is, that they had been permitted during the time of Koresh, of Cyrus, to go and rebuild the land. And when they're rebuilding the land, so they are being told, a message comes back, the Jews are ready to rebel, and they start to stop the reconstruction that's taking place. Who is it that's sending the letter? Rashi says that the Seder Olam says that it's the ten sons of Haman. So that is, not only were they anti-Semites by inheritance, they on their own were enemies of the Jewish people who stopped the rebuilding that was taking place at that time.
They were instrumental in helping to stop the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash?
The rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash, the city, yeah, that was taking place.
So the ten sons of Haman were involved in that?
That's what he said, but they were the ones who wrote these negative things back.
But the person then will be going to be corrupted by their father too.
Yep.
So were they really at fault?
I am the liberal psychobabble.
Yes. The higher you get, the more of that you see in your position.
I have heard that the sons of Haman had been killed prior, and then they were they were hanged publicly.
Well, where were they hanged?
I thought they were hanged on the...
What sentence were they hanged?
I don't know.
It doesn't say.
All it says here is that they were killed.
Mm.
So hang around, we'll come to that.
Okay.
So, Sarah, if you'll allow me to, this I found out was true, and there's somebody in the shul who said, why are certain people called the Vaizasa? It's a Yiddish expression. Do you hear me say this?
No.
So if you see, Vaizasa is one of the sons over here. So he said that his mother or his grandmother used to say, that person's a Vaizasa. So I said, funny you should ask, because I heard from my father this, and I never heard it from anybody else, and then I heard him ask me the question. I said, ten sons of Haman were executed. Vaizasa, why didn't he run away when he saw all the others were killed? He said, because obviously he was pretty stupid. He didn't make his escape if he saw all the other people. So they called what?
Sheeple. Sheeple.
Sheep being much of a slaughter.
Sheep.
Okay. Sheep. Okay. Yeah. No. So he should have run away. He should have escaped, but he was too dumb to do it. So therefore, there's this Yiddish expression that a person who is dumb is a vaizasa. So
we'll have to use that as a trick. As a code word for people who aren't necessarily
So this is what, anyway. So and somebody here, the first time I've ever heard anybody that mentioned this besides what I heard from my father. So very okay. Yeah. The ten were killed. And the Jews did not send their hand, didn't take any of the loot. On that day, the number of those killed in Shushan Havira, the Shushan the capital, came before the king. So the king now says to Esther, again, what?
The question here.
Yeah.
It says here that the Jews did not partake in the booty.
Right.
Is that considered some kind of an ethical elevation or making the Jews to a level of a much higher level than the people whom they had killed?
So
that's akin to what happened with Jericho and Ai and stuff like that.
Right. So exactly. In other words, in coming into the land of Israel, they were told not to take anything whenever they destroyed something, that it was not to take loot. That was not the purpose of it. They were not looters. And the Malbim has said that among the reasons why this, let's call it the defense of the Jews, was to take place only on one day. They were supposed to do everything on one day. So that way, no one would have any time or interest or ability to look for money. In other words, they had to, on this one day, get rid of all of their enemies and not have in mind at all the money. And I had mentioned that this is called the Tohar HaMilchama, that in Israel, part of the order of the day when soldiers are going out to battle, and this I heard from soldiers, is they're told that you're going to do battle and you're not there, you're not allowed to take anything from what is going on. So, and finally, it should be, as Rashi says over here, Uvavizolo Shulchu Es Yadam, Rashi says, Shlo Yitein HaMelech Ayin Tzara B'mamon, that what the Ba'alim have pointed out before, that what normally happens when a battle, he said it, and we mentioned it, in regard to the king giving Haman's house to Mordechai, because it was a very gracious thing that he was doing, because normally in the laws that would exist, if someone was executed because of a crime against the king or a crime, the property would belong to the king. The fact that the king takes the house of Haman and gives it to Mordechai means that he, now I know it says that he put Mordechai over it, I think that's what you asked when we said that, that in doing this he showed the importance of Mordechai. What would happen with the people who were being killed? Who should their property go to? It should go to the king. What happens if somebody takes it? So then the king is going to be jealous or angry at the people. So this is what Rashi says, that they didn't take anything, so that the king should not accuse them of taking anything.
It sounds a little bit of a side note here,
mm-hmm.
that it was obviously most difficult for fortunes to restrain themselves from taking spoils. Rewards were there, restraint. It was established that throughout all generations, the poor, without exception and then end investigation, as to need, will be recipients of gifts to the poor.
Okay, so I'll mention something about gifts to the poor in a moment. Just the one very important word that was said over there is that established that throughout generations of the poor, without exception and investigation.
Right.
So that's a special halacha on Purim. That when giving out tzedakah on Purim, when a person gives tzedakah, they should be careful to whom are they giving tzedakah, to make sure that the person deserves it. And a person is allowed to ask. Yirmiyahu, we're told in the Gemara, Jeremiah the prophet complains about people at one time, and he says, as the Gemara explains, that even when they give tzedakah, the tzedakah should not go to proper people. Now you'll tell me that the person had in mind to do the right thing just because it went to a charlatan. It's not their fault. True, but they didn't accomplish with their tzedakah what they should have done. And the person is allowed to and should check out a tzedakah and make sure that it is appropriate. In many cities, there are people who go around door to door to collect money. I'm sure.
And they have letters of some rabbis.
Okay, so now in certain cities, people who go door to door first go to a local VOD, to a local organization that certifies every single case that comes in. And they're then given a letter from the local VOD. I'm speaking of, say, Baltimore is one such place. They are given a letter from the local VOD, and the letter is in different colors. It's laminated, so it can't be changed. And the colors are for the different month or season or something like that. It's dated. It's valid for a certain amount of time. And the letter says that the person is collecting for an individual, themselves, a school, an institution, how many students are in that school or institution, so that the person who is giving the money should you know, be able to think how much. And then it also says there how much they suggest the person should give. A minimum donation.
Really?
Yes, it says there, you know, the money for a meal. It has a number of things that are checked off as to what they suggest the person should give. Because there are people who are charlatans who are half an hour ago, 40 minutes ago, we got a call from the so-and-so collecting on behalf of the police something or other. Okay, so that's one of the organizations that 90% of the money collected goes to the fundraising organization or whatever it is. So a person has to know they are, the person said when he called, the first thing he said is, I am a paid solicitor or something like that. And that's, you know, here the state protects the individual that they should have information about what they're doing. Purim is different. All of this has to do with Purim, right? It has to do with the one word that on Purim it is no investigation. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that kol haposhet ev yado, anyone who sticks out his hand, one is supposed to give on Purim. So I'll come back to more Purim, hopefully. Okay, so the king gets the information and he turns to Esther, Ve'omar HaMelech Esther HaMalka, sentence 12. The king says, V'Shushan HaVira, in Shushan the capital, Hargu Ayedim Vavheh, the Jews wiped out, Hamesh Me'otish, 500 people, Ve'chah Ses Ne'Haman, and the 10 sons of Haman, they're still brought, just dead. V'Shar Medidas HaMelech Me'otsu, what did they do in the other provinces of the king? Mashe Laseh, Ve'Naseh Ma, and what's your request that will be granted? Ma'amakosh Laseh, Ha, V'Seyos, and what do you desire, and it will be done. V'Tom Esther, so Esther says, Me'amelech Tov, if it's good for the king, you know, send Gam Lachar, tomorrow also should be given Ma'yedim Asher V'Shushan to the Jews who are in Shushan, La'sos Kedot Hayom, to do what they law of today. V'Saseh, Ve'Haman Yisro Aloes, and the 10 sons of Haman shall be hung. So the request for the hanging comes only afterwards, right? It's only now. They're already dead. So this hanging is not to kill them, but this hanging is that their bodies should be there for people to see what happens with those who started up with the Jews.
So it's basically just what?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Like Mussolini when he was hung.
So, but there's something over here in sentence 13. What is Esther asking for? That it should be for the Jews of Shushan to do tomorrow like today. In other words, there's some thing that she's asking for more. So let me just say it this way. In how many days of battle were there that took place? So they were given, the Jews were given permission to battle for one day. That's what it was.
She asked for a second day.
But she asked for a second day for the city of Shushan. So in what way was Shushan different? Let me...
That was the walled city.
Okay, so that was the definition of the city. But what made it different there? We'll come back to the Malbim and see.
But there were a lot of supporters of Haman.
Okay. So the Malbim, one thing is more supporters. Perhaps the Malbim also has a different explanation based on his view of the letters. Remember the letters, there are the sealed letter of Haman, the open letter of Haman, be ready, and the letter of Mordechai. So what happens? Sentence number 14, by Yomar Mechleo. So the king says to do so, but he now sends us to Shushan, and it's been given in Shushan, and so says to Haman Talu, and the 10 sons of Haman are hung. So therefore the Jews who are in Shushan gather also Gam, the Yom Arba Asola Choroshadar, on the 14th, by Yom Shushan, Shosh Me'ofish, and they kill in Shushan 300 people, Vavizol, Lo Shofu Es Yadam, and they do not take any of the booty. So in Shushan, there were 500 killed on the first day, 300 on the second day. Ushar HaYudim, the other Jews, Asher B'dinot HaMelech, in the province of the king, Nikalu B'amaron Nafshav, they gather, they stand up, they fight for their lives, and not mere behem, and they relax from their enemies, or Rovisonehem, kill of their enemies, Chamisha V'shivi Molech, 75,000, Vavizolo Shalchu HaFyonam, likewise they didn't take any of the loot. The Omshal Shalchal Chodesh Ador, this took place on the 13th in the other provinces. The Noach, they rested, Mar Vosavo, on the 14th, also, and they made it Yom Mishteh V'simcha, a day of party and joy. Vayudim Hashem V'shushan, the Jews in Shushan, Nikalo V'shalchal Shalchal Well, they fought on the 13th and the 14th, the Noach, and therefore they only rested L'chamisha Osorvo on the 15th, also they made it as a Yom Mishteh V'simcha, a day of celebration, and a day of party and celebration. Al-Kain, and now it explains, therefore, Hayudim ha-Prozim, the Jews who are Prozim. What is Prozim? Okay, Hayoshim Orea Prozos, who dwell in the unwalled cities. They make the celebration on the 14th of Adar as Simcha Mishka V'Yom Tov, joy, party, banquet, and Yom Tov V'Mishloach Monos Yisrael, and sending gifts one to another. So Mordechai writes as Hadvarim Ha'ele, all of these things. I don't know, what did he write? Huh?
Letters.
Yeah, but what did he write? What's in the letter?
Oh.
Okay, he sends these scrolls to all the Jews, all the provinces, near and far. The Kayem Alehem, and to accept upon themselves the also seem to do if Yom Arba Asar L'Chodesh Adar, the 14th, if Yom Chamisha Asar Bo, and the 15th, the whole Shana V'Shana every year. Kayomim. Like the days, Asher Nachu B'Amaidim Erevayim, does the Jews relax from their enemies? L'Chodesh, the month Asher Nepacha Miyom L'Simcha, which was changed from mourning to joy, Me'Evo L'Yom Tov, and for Miyogon from affliction to joy, and from Evel from mourning to Yom Tov, that's also some to make them as May Mishka V'Simcha, days of party and joy, Mishloach Manos Yisrael, and sending gifts to friends, Umat Manos Avyonim, and gifts to the poor. So one sec. There were no gifts to the poor before. In sentence number 19, no gifts to the poor. And now here, there are gifts to the poor. The Kibela Yehudim, and the Jews accepted upon themselves, they thought, Shere Chelu La'asos. What is your translation?
Jews undertook to continue what they had begun.
Do you have a side note?
Is this number 23?
Yeah.
They have 22. 22 sending delicacies to each other, at least 2 delicacies.
Okay.
But they're ready to eat food, being plural, to one man. And gifts to the poor, this means 2 gifts to 2 men, 1 gift from each of the 2, the minimum number of the plural, 4 being 2.
Okay, so those are the laws of these 2 things as are derived from the sentences here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go, it says in the middle, towards the end of sentence 22, Mishloach Manos, sending gifts or portions, plural, Israel, a man to his friend, umatanos, and gifts, plural, lo'evyonim, to poor, plural. So that's why when it comes to mishloach manos, the gifts of food, they have to be sent, it says manos, plural, 2 foods, as we would say, to one person, and gifts to the poor's, 2 gifts to 2 poor. So when it says also mishloach, mishloach is sending, it doesn't say giving, so therefore it has to be done through a shaliach, through a third party, and the person is the messenger to give it. So now I have 3 people involved in a joyous event that's taking place.
Want something? Is doing this, doing the Shaliach and the person that feeds
him. Right. And when it comes to the poor, it's two poor. So you have to give a minimum of two coins to two poor people. And the Jews accepted upon themselves that which they had, again, sentence 23.
What they had already begun.
Eitz asher kotzav Mordechai lehem, and that which Mordechai wrote to them. So what is it that they had begun?
I guess the partying and the, and the giving
the gifts. I'm giving the gifts.
So let's see, we'll hold on, see if we see this in the sentences.
The notes that I have, it says, Jews had already begun to observe Purim on their own, and they wanted to keep it every year. And Mordechai sent messages, this has been formally legislated, they were pleased and readily accepted it as an obligation. They also accepted Mordechai's new legislation, sending portions to friends and gifts to the poor, as well as the obligation of reading the Megillah.
Okay, so what do we have now? This talks about the two times when it says things.
Right.
In other words, it said the Jews celebrated. And now it talks about here the more celebration. So as it's going to be the difference between the first year and the years afterward. First year is party time, right? Afterwards, not so great. Is it so great? Is it not? There was legislation for it. And there's one other new thing that comes in here, and that is gifts to the poor that wasn't given before. So let me just say this part of the Malvim in case I don't get back to it. And there is a very important discussion in regard to Yom HaTzmaut, Israel Independence Day. How do you celebrate Israel Independence Day? Do you celebrate it? Do you not? Do you say Hallel? Do you say Hallel with a bracha? Some places they say a Haftarah. Some places they wear sackcloth and ashes.
Sackcloth and ashes? That's on Tisha
B'Av. There's some people who do it on Tisha B'Av, on Yom HaTzmaut.
Oh, those are the
okay, there are people who do that. So why, what's this whole thing? Now, those who are opposed to the State of Israel, okay, so leave them out because they have nothing in, within this whole discussion. In other words, they're opposed to it. The State of Israel is
some
evil.
Some of them actually live there.
But that's, they're outside of the discussion, right?
Right.
Okay, so within those who recognize and appreciate the State of Israel, there's a whole gamut of ways in which it is celebrated. Why is there such an issue about, besides we can't get along on anything, but besides that, is the underlying issue is, can a holiday be made after the holidays were made that existed? Can a new holiday be made? And if a holiday can be made, can malacha, can work be forbidden on that day or not? So because it did call it, if you remember, it called it Yom Tov. In here, if we had said it was Yom Tov, Yom Tov generally means a day that work is not supposed to be done. It's not Shabbos.
Of course
you do. So why
are you allowed to work on those days? Because
it's technically forbidden.
Because it was after the time in which it's that's the best way of saying it. In other words, don't.
Right.
Okay, so these were holidays established by the rabbis, but they did not have the power to forbid work being done on those days. Is there a possibility of making any holidays after those holidays or not? That's now the question of Yom HaTzmaut. But what about, there is such a thing, if you take a look in the Encyclopedia Judaica, which is over here, you look up Purim, and you will see there are many, many Purims that are celebrated. For example, one that always sticks in my mind, I forget the name of the city, there was someone wanted to poison all the Jews. So there was one bakery that everybody went to. There was poison in the food. Somehow the information came back to one of the rabbis, and he said, we made a mistake. This is not the exact story, but it's like this. We calculated Tisha B'Av on the wrong day. Tomorrow's the real fast day. Nobody's allowed to eat tomorrow. Nobody ate? And then the guy came, the banker came and said, look what happened over here, my business, these Jews, they ruined my business. And so the rabbi was called and he said, well, tell him to eat the food. So he ate the food and he died. And what happened? The entire Jewish community was saved. And they celebrated. They made it Purim on that day. There is a family that the head of the family a number of years ago was working for Hillel in Washington, D.C., in the head office. And the Hillel building was taken over. Their floor was taken over by a group called the Hanafi Muslims. And they held the people hostage for a number of days. And they let them go after whatever the story was, and that family made a personal family Purim following that. And every year on the anniversary of that day, they had a family celebration, and they ate, and they retold the story. After a while, retelling the story wasn't as interesting as the first 25 years or whatever it was. And so what they did is that there are two sons of the Rabbi Trimmer was his name, I think, and his two sons each year work on a topic in Torah that they present to the family and they write it up. It's always a very, very interesting thing that they present at that time in honor of their family Purim. So a person can make a family Purim, but you can't make a Yom Tov. So what did Mordechai do? People made on their own, they made a celebration, but they wanted to make a Yom Tov. So what did Mordechai do? He gave them a mitzvah to do. What was that mitzvah? Matanos Lavyonim. It's giving to the poor on that day. I can tell you all kinds of reasons that so the poor should also celebrate and everything like that, but that's the way the Malbim says that the purpose of that mitzvah was to give it, let's call it sanctity, that you couldn't give by, you can't create a holiday, so you give sanctity to that action of giving tzedakah to the poor on that day. Now, there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to the poor all the time, right?
Yeah, but especially on certain holidays, like before Passover.
So maybe, so those times, Passover is the people will be able to have food.
Right.
Here is for this mitzvah. But if somebody doesn't have food, I have a mitzvah to give him all the time. Maybe that's why we are much more generous when it comes to the Purim gifts, that you're not supposed to check everybody out. In other words, because it's a greater thing that I'm doing than any time. Okay.
I don't give out that much when the rest of the year, mm-hmm. then I give out on Purim, you know, and that's why Shabbat is noted for it.
Those hours.
And hours.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And hours. I was thinking maybe we should have Hamantash in celebration when we complete it. But if we don't have any, at least we'll be able to talk about it.
Please, this is going to be one of those 5 weeks.
No. We're finishing tonight. We are finishing tonight. Okay? So, now, another... Ki Haman ben Abdelta Agagi Tarek Ha'ayudim. Now, the whole story, because Haman, the son of Abdelta, the Agagite, the afflictor, the tormentor of the Jews, Tashal Ha'ayudim Abdel, planned on the Jews to destroy him. He feel poor. He drew his lot.
Right.
Hu Agorol, that is the...
Cast a lot that is the lot.
That is the lot. Cast the poor, which is like sight.
Oh, so this one doesn't translate it. It says cast the poor, which is like
sight. Cast the poor, which is like sight.
Lohamam ulavdam. And what was his goal? What was he trying to do? To
crush and destroy.
Oh, absolutely. Ubevol. They say Amnath. When she comes before the king Omar, she says Ima Sefer. When she came before the king, Omar,
he said,
right, masculine, Im HaSefer,
in writing.
Okay, so the Malbim says,
letters.
But you see what the issue is over here. Omar is to say, Im HaSefer is something which is written. So the Malbim says, he both said orally and written, that which he planned to do, the Jews should be on his own head. Hang him and his sons on the tree. Okay, on the gallows. Okay, and therefore, they call these days Purim, which is plural of Al Shem HaPur, because of the poor, the...
It was written in this letter.
Well,
that was in this letter.
Al Ken Kalaji, everything written in this letter. How many letters are there?
Well, you had the first letter going on.
No. Don't go back that far.
Okay.
How many?
Well, this is the letter that Mordecai sent out. Here. And he and Esther wrote the scroll.
So 1 second. Which is, how many? Forget the letters of Haman. Forget the letter of the king or Mordecai, whatever you want to call it, to rescind, to override those letters. Now, how many letters are here?
There are all written. I mean, other than.
Well, how about if you take a look back?
I sent letters such as they should.
Okay. Right. And then this is another letter, and this is the letter. Let's go back to Sharon about.
When she appeared before the
wait.
Where are we looking at?
Sentence 26.
Okay. Well, that was in the letter which they had seen and what had happened to them. The Jews established it and accepted it upon themselves, upon their children.
Okay, you're ahead of me now. Okay, so I'll tell you it this way. When one reads the Megillah and they come to this sentence that says, Al-Kain Al-Kol Dibrei Al-Geret Hazot, on this letter, they lift up the Megillah at that time. You may even hear the sound of the Megillah making noise at that time. But you don't do it for the sentence before, because there are two scrolls that are being sent. One is during the first year and the other one is afterwards, and that's Megillas Esther. When it says over here the Megillah, it's Megillas Esther, which has all the story, which is the story now is for future generations about what took place. Because the Jews accept, etc., everyone who would also join them in the future, and not to let them pass, to make these 2 days as they are written and according to their times of Kol Shana V'Shana every year. These days are now remembered and done in every generation, mishpacha, family and family, dinam, dina, province and province, year by year, and city and city, these days will not pass from the Jews, they'll never be forgotten. The Gemara says, based on this sentence, that even when the time of Mashiach comes, and the holidays will be nullified or no longer exist, the holiday of Purim will remain. That's great. We can get rid of Yom Kippur. We can get rid of Tishabal. And we can get rid of Shavuos and Matamos. And we'll have Purim. Ah, what a machaya. So that's what it says. So when, obviously there's a lot to this. What does it mean? In other words, that the idea of God acting in history behind the scene, when it will be then, people will be aware that this is what happened throughout the entire existence of the world, that God was there, that will become revealed at the time of Mashiach. In other words, the story here, which is the hidden miracles, that will be recognized at that time. Okay. But it's all that some author was having about the idea of cold. Okay. They write it all down. The Kayim is the Gerasa Purim and Zol Tashenit to, they send out the messengers to all of the provinces. When I said shaking the Megillah, it's this one, this sentence over here, not the one before. They send out the scrolls to the Jews to the 127 provinces, the kingdom of Achashverosh, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, words of truth and peace, the Kayim, and this, the Gemara says, refers to the fact that the book of Esther is accepted into the canon, and it becomes part of Tanakh. The Kayim is Kmeyapurim Mayavizmanehem, to observe the days during their time period, Kasher Kiyamalim, Mordechai Yehudim, Esther Amalka, as they had done, Kasher Kimual, and Hashem Al-Zaram, and as they accepted for themselves and their descendants, Yirei Atzamos, both the fasting, the Zakosam, and the crying out, that is, the kindness Esther, the fast of Esther also, is part of the package. The words, the command of Esther were fulfilled in these words and written down, right? Now, chapter 10, little chapter in the end over here, has absolutely nothing to do, at least the first sentence, has nothing to do with Jewish history, right? Mm-hmm. King Ahasuerus put the tax on the land and the island, all of his power and his strength, and for us, the great Mordechai, that the king made great, for us, is written down in the books, the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia. Mordechai is the second king of Ahasuerus, great for the Jews, the role of Echav, and Ratsui and found favor Rov Echav. The translation I have over here is for the
multitude of his
people.
Most of his brothers.
Oh, Sharon's throwing in a monkey wrench. She says Rov doesn't mean the multitude. She said Rov means
the popular with most of his brethren.
Only most of his brethren?
Weren't that a Jewish second to King Ahasuerus, great among the Jews and popular with most of his brethren?
Not all of them? No, I'm agreeing with you. I just want to highlight that point.
Maybe not all the other non-Jews.
Now, as far as I know, none of the commentaries say what Hal says, even though we're all tempted to say that. But I will tell it to you this way. When Aaron dies in the Torah, it says, Vayivko so kol Beit Israel, the entire Jewish people mourned for the death of Aaron. When Moshe died, it says, Vayivko so Beit Israel, Jewish people mourned. It doesn't say everyone.
Right.
So now you'll say, but you're just ratifying what I'm saying. That is, when Moshe had a different task than Aaron did. Aaron was called the Ohev Shalom Barodeh Shalom. He went to everybody, made peace. If he found that two people were quarreling, he went to one and said, I heard you had a fight with him. He wants to make up with you. Then Aaron went to the other person and said, I heard you had a fight with her, and she really wants to make up with you. She's just like shy to come forward. And what happened when two of them meet? Each one thinks the other one is the one who gave in, and they're all friends afterwards.
Does that actually work?
No. Not favor compare notes.
That's because everybody learned that thing about Aaron, so now they don't trust anyone. They want a signed, written thing that the other person admits that they were wrong and will pay them compensation
the
for 200 years.
So the other thing is,
when it says the most of them, so there's a famous Gemara that says over here, because he became involved in the running of the government, and therefore he separated himself from the Sanhedrin, or the Sanhedrin separated because he didn't study as much. In other words, the person who is going to go into government service, who had been a member of the Sanhedrin before, the way we described him, not everybody's happy with what he did. Most people were happy with it, not everyone. Just like not everyone was happy with Moshe. Now, there is a lot more to do on this. Just one thing, that the Hamans of all times are still around. And the Haman, even in the same area of the world, there is a Khomeini.
Oh,
what's his name? What's his name?
I don't know. What, Khomeini?
Khomeini,
I think it's
his name. Well, the nice anti-Khomeini is Rosh Hashanah. It's just a conjuring by sunlight.
The Ayatollah is the guy who's really in charge.
What's this? This is
Khomeini.
So the enemies are still there. In the end of the Megillah, when it's now, just to the Malbim, just very, very short, the Malbim says the 2 days was because the letter of Haman was hidden, right? It was supposed to be open on this day. What, and here, this is, they were talking to you about the city of Poughkeepsie and the town of Poughkeepsie. Mm-hmm. So the Malbim describes the exact same thing as Shushan and Shushan Habira. There is Shushan the capital and Shushan, which is not the capital, because there's a some sentence say one way or another, because it was like the city and the town.
I thought the wall city.
I'm sorry?
It was wall city plus
things. Yeah, no, I'm leave that out for a second. There was the Shushan Abir, the capital, which is the city, and there was the rest of the area, which was the town of Shushan. And in certain places, what happened was there were rulers in the cities who got this message from the king, which said, let the Jews do their thing. So what happened in those places? They never opened up the letter of Haman, because they say, why should, well, the king is favoring the Jews. We're not going to even open up that letter. And so the enemies of the Jews are not going to know anything about it. So the Jews in the city, Bob's explanation, did not know if they were really safe or not, because the only reason they weren't attacked or the numbers were small is because what? The people didn't hear that there had been another letter to destroy the Jews. And they were being protected by the king's officers at that time. Was that enough? So therefore they have this extra day in which they would go after those. The Mom says there are two terms that are used here for enemies. There's oyev and sone. Oyev is an enemy. Sone is one who hates. The oyev, the enemy, is the one who comes out and attacks you. The sone is the one who is has it hidden inside of him, and it doesn't necessarily come out. It may come out. We've had the time, but it comes out at some time. So, and that's the way he explains the difference between the places. The Jews throughout the land, when they came and they fought and they wiped out those who wanted to destroy them, they were fighting, and the other people, the both letters were revealed at the time because the officers were not as close to the king. They didn't really know how things were. They said, okay, Jews, you have permission. So the Jews there right away realized that there was this miracle that took place. So therefore they, immediately on the 14th of the month of Adar, were already resting because they knew they had been saved. The Jews in Shushan didn't really know what was the reason they were being saved. Was it just that the officers hid away the other letter? Or in fact, was it the whole story that they were being protected absolutely by God? And so that's in the background that the Malbim has over here. Bottom line is that the plans of Haman, in which he sought to destroy the Jews. The Gemara says that when it came out to be the month of Adar, differently from the way we had meant in the beginning, he said, Adar, that is a great month to attack the Jews. There are no holidays in the month of Adar. I know there are other months that have no holidays too. And also Adar is the anniversary of the death of Moshe.
And his birthday.
I don't know about birthday. It's a day that Moshe died. And therefore, it's a terrible time for the Jewish people. He was so happy with that. And that by his calculations, it should have gone that the Jews should have been destroyed. And that's the great miracle turned topsy-turvy entirely. Gemara says that he didn't know that Moshe was also born on that day, and that we see a person having a full life, not necessarily counted in years, but in the time that they use and that they properly give to the world during their time. Okay, so yashikov to everyone.